Hello and welcome again to the Ascension Install podcast series. I'm David Kitchener, the Managing Director of All Things Media Limited, the company that brings you Ascension Install magazine and EI Live exhibitions, amongst other projects. Since we began this podcast series, we've covered many people and topics related to the industry, the AV and home automation industry, from industry associations, distributors, manufacturers, custom install companies, with a view to ascertain what they can offer the industry and how they can help the installer stroke integrator do their job better. We produced over 30 podcasts now, all of which can be downloaded from all major podcast platforms, as well as hosted on the Ascension Install site, which is simply www.ascensioninstall.com. Today we're covering a subject that we've not done before. Ever since I've been in this industry, it's long been a matter of conjecture as to the role of the interior designer and the architect in the custom install industry. Needless to say, there are many opinions on this depending who you talk to. Well, today we're joined by Darren Barker, who is the Managing Director of Cinema Lux, a very successful company that works with integrators and installers. Darren is an interior designer with a difference. Darren runs a very successful business working with, as I say, integrators. Welcome, Darren.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. This should be interesting, this one, because, you know, it's often talked about the role of the interior designer, but of course you've got a different company as such. I mean, the role of the interior designer and architect, some people think's good, some people think's bad. However, Darren, the journey you've been on, where did the journey start? My understanding is it's born out of experience in the music and recording industry. How long were you in the music business and what were you doing?
I was in it for...
You weren't producing the Beatles or anything like that, I'm guessing. You're not that old.
And I'm not that old, nor am I that successful, I'm afraid. But I've always had a long history with... It was always music and design for me from a very young age. And when I talk about this, it's not just me I'm referring to, actually, because my business partner, Patrick, who runs the operational side of the business, he was with me the whole way through when we were doing the music, as well as Zoe, our business support manager, who now works for us. The three of us went on that musical journey together, and we were very fortunate to do some really special things. I mean, in a way,
were you interested in mixing music, putting all that kind of stuff together in those days?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were in multiple bands together, and have always written and produced music together, and we did a lot of international touring in our younger years, and we're also very fortunate to spend a lot of time in world-class studios and mastering rooms, and always had a love for writing and producing as well as performing live. And that, I suppose, is a really important part of Cinema Lux, because we all have our own recording studios. We have a genuine love and passion for music and audio.
Well, even now you've got your own recording studios.
Yeah, we still do music, not as much as we would like to. You know, life is busy in terms of...
Well, that's a good thing.
Business, that side of things. So we don't get to do it as much as we would like anymore collectively. But yes, we've still got our studios, and we do still write and record and occasionally perform as well.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, so we did some big stuff in 2013 and 2017. We supported Depeche Mode on their World Stadium tours, for those two tours. So that was a real privilege to...
That's a claim to fame.
Yeah, it's a privilege is the only way to describe it, really. Yeah. To play venues of that size with such a iconic acts was, I suppose, all we'd ever dreamt of since we were little kids. So we very much ticked that box, and we got to travel a lot as well. We toured the States three times, and the nicest thing about it was you got to do it with your best friends as well.
Yes.
So it was a really good experience, and we'd been best friends for for 20 years. And Pat and I have always wanted to set up a business together, but had never really stumbled on the right thing that suited us both.
I'm surprised you didn't go into literally music production then.
Yeah, it's a tough industry.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah. It's an industry where, in a way, we were probably born slightly in the wrong era, because when our career kicked off was 2008 onwards, which was the financial crash, and that really heavily affected the music industry. I think we probably hold the record for the shortest major record deal ever, because we signed with EMI the day before it crashed, and then they dropped us the day it crashed. So we had a 24-hour deal.
Wasn't it EMI that originally turned down the Beatles?
Yeah, it was, yeah. They let us go as well.
Were you in good company then, Dan?
Yeah, very much so. So it's that sort of DNA and love for music which started Cinema Lux, really.
Well, how did you then move into? I mean, that's all fairly straightforward. Music production, traveling, very exciting.
Yeah, it's great.
How did you move into interior design then?
Well, I was doing interior design before that.
Ah, okay.
I've done fitted interiors since I was 13, actually. Believe it or not, and full time since I left school. So I started working for Pog and Pole when I was 15.
Oh, right.
And my plan was to go off and do a degree in architecture, and Pog and Pole wanted me to stay, so they said if I stayed with them they would essentially put me through university whilst working, because they were keen to keep me. And because it's such a long degree, architecture, I felt there was very little to lose in that. If I gave that a year and I liked it or didn't like it, great. I hadn't lost a great deal in the long run. And then so I was with them for 9-10 years. I then moved to Bothy.
Did you complete the university course with Pog and Pole?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I did that work base. I did 2 years at Cambridge and a year at Reba, and so it was a good course and very relevant to what I was doing. But you always have the advantage that I actually had great people around me at work, so that was really my education and upbringing from a design and a sales point of view, because the two are interlinked.
Well, we're all salesmen, aren't we?
So I did that, and then I went to Bothy for 3 years, and then I left Bothy and went self-employed, really when the music started kicking off, to give me the flexibility to do the interior design work around the touring. And so I've done it since a very, very young age, has been in fitted interiors. So then in 2013, starting small, I set up my other company, Barker & Scott, which specialises in interior design and fitted interiors, and slowly built that around the music. And then when the music slowed down, accelerated that further. And then in 2019, we come up with a concept of Cinema Lux. So Cinema Lux is an interior design and build contractor. It's just laser-focused in terms of it only deals with cinema rooms, which is some recording studios, some immersive rooms, but 90% of our work is dedicated to cinema rooms. So it's always a pro audio environment that we're going into.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, to the present day, I mean, interesting that you've all come together again and set up Cinema Lux. And Zoe, I understand, of course, is still a singer in a ABBA tribute band, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. She
that's your business manager. The right title, yeah. Isn't it? Business manager. Yeah.
Business support manager. So it's Zoe's always loved the live side of it. I always loved the writing and the recording. Yeah, I loved the glory gigs as well. But
yes.
You know, that was always the thing that I enjoyed most, was the creative part of what we did. But Zoe just she loves that live element. And she really missed that. So she now does that as well, and she really enjoys it, and they're very good at it.
Yeah, I've got to go and listen to them. But the present day Cinema Lux, which I think is a very interesting company, and you're certainly with Cinema Lux, I'm right in saying you're majoring on the CI industry, working with people in it. And I picked up from various things you've said and your videos and your website and so on that you don't provide any kit or technology. You class yourselves as a design and build company or a design and build contractor, specializing in very niche rooms. Interesting. You talk about identifying the disconnect with the services that AV professionals offer, together with the interior designer and delivering the finished room. Tell me about that, Darren, the disconnect. You clearly identified it and you're making a success of it.
Yeah, so first of all, that's 100% right. We don't sell speakers, projectors, control systems, or install that electronic kit. That's not our core area of expertise. We're very good at designing, we're very good at manufacturing and fabricating and building the rooms, and we're very good at knitting all the parties together. But we made that a hard rule from very early with Cinema Lux, that if we make it a firm policy that we do not sell speakers, then we do not tread on anyone's toes. So we become an asset to the integrator rather than a rival.
Okay, yeah.
And that was very much a conscious business decision for us. That means that we can establish long-term relationships with good integrators. Strategically, from Cinema Lux's point of view, it means that we're not all scrapping after the same end client. It means that when we develop a relationship and a client, hopefully we're good for between maybe 4 to 10 projects a year from that integrator, rather than everyone chasing that same end user.
Sure.
But also, it's what we're best at is the design and build side. So,
do you project manage the whole thing?
Yeah.
Basically, it sounds like you do.
Yeah. It's also an important part, really, because on a lot of these projects, there is generally, I suppose, a typical team. If you took a new build project, there'll be a client involved, of course. There'll be an architect. There might be an overreaching interior designer on the project more often than not. And there'll be the integrator, there'll be us, there'll be the electrical contractor, there'll be a contractor doing the HVAC, there might be a flooring contractor.
You mentioned another interior designer. Where would he or she, who would employ he or she? The client?
Yeah, so if a client's building a 15,000 square foot new build super house, there will be an interior designer on that project.
Right.
After the whole project. And we often get the question, well, how does that work with if there's already an interior designer on the project with Cinema Lux? And generally, the answer is very well, because we're able to take on board the interior designer's overall concept, not just for the room, but the house, and then look at that from a technical point of view, how that interacts with what the integrator needs to achieve, how that interacts with what we're building, and pull that together into something cohesive and deliverable, and ultimately create a better room for the client. And there's a lot made about relationships with interior designers and architects from the CI industry and how that works. Some find it very advantageous and some find it quite a difficult field to navigate.
Well, many quite some time ago at the Cedia show, Cedia were promoting the idea of interior designers coming into the industry and also architects coming into the industry, and they had a show before we had EI Live. They had a show, which the last show was in Excel in London before they decided to close it. But I remember them bussing in a whole busload of interior designers and a whole busload of architects to kind of march them around the show to get them to have an understanding of what the AV industry or AV and home automation industry was all about. And I think a lot of interior designers, with all due respect to them, don't really either want to understand our industry or just don't.
Yeah. A lot of them don't particularly care for it, which is not the probably not the answer that most people listening to this want to hear, but they see it as a unnecessary complication on a project. And to change that perspective is very hard. And I find that the easiest way and often the best way to develop those relationships is to be as helpful as possible, you know, and in a way it accepts the fact that the interior designer will likely always be higher up the food chain than the integrator from the client perspective. And so the best way to approach it is to become an asset to that interior designer rather than a hindrance. And sometimes that might mean compromising in areas where the integrator doesn't particularly want to compromise. However, if you can create a proper dialogue with the design professionals, if there's a space like a cinema room where it's of more importance that the technical is adhered to, if there's been a degree of give and take and compromise in other areas, you usually got more chance of getting your own way rather than creating a situation where it's one versus the other, because 9 times out of 10, the interior designer will win. And the interior designer is a fantastic asset because generally they have the ear of the client. And if they've got the ear of the client, that means they've got influence on specification, budget allocation, all of these key things for people building their business. So make friends with them, take them for lunch, be really helpful, you know. That's
do you have
a world of difference?
Yes. Oh, 100%. When you approach the integrator, or I guess these days they're probably coming to approach you, I mean, you build yourself as a design and build contractor. You are an interior designer. Do you have a little bit of an uphill struggle going to some integrators, installers, and convincing them that you should be part of the project when maybe they think, oh no, not an interior designer? Do you know what I mean?
You know, it's not so much that side. I think that a lot of integrators, they do understand the benefit that brings.
Right.
So probably a good example is it's an awful lot easier to sell a high specification cinema room if it looks beautiful and you've got mood boards and everything that goes with it alongside the technology than trying to sell the black boxes on their own. It's an easier sale because it's more real for the client. It's more relatable for the client. And in a way, it's less intimidating for a client as well. And probably the biggest objection, or I don't know if objection is the right word, actually, reservation about us when we speak to new integrators is they may have already been delivering rooms themselves.
Yes.
And may have had a degree of success with that as well. Because there's some, you know, we're not the only solution on the market. I would say that we're probably the most complete solution on the market in terms of design, manufacture, installation, delivery, warranty, and what I always call as taking ownership of a project and responsibility of a project. But we're not the only solution. You know, there's some really good supply-only solutions out there to the integrator to produce their own rooms, and some have been really successful in doing that. So often the integrator, their first reaction is they see the value in the interior design side, but then they're not sure how it then fits in on the back end with the construction and delivery.
Essential Install Magazine is the leading title for the smart home, AV and home cinema markets. Packed monthly with news, views, features, products and case studies, it's a must read for any integration company looking to source new products and increase their profits. If you'd prefer to get your smart home and high quality AV news online, then get along to essentialinstall.com. Updated daily with news, product releases and case studies. Essential Install is the last word in smart home, AV and home cinema coverage. Don't miss out. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online.
Am I right in saying that the majority of, I mean, I always say I'm a humble publisher. I don't install, but is it right in saying at least 80% of installers, integrators out there do not work with interior designers, or is that a bigger percentage?
I think I don't know what the percentage is actually, because you'll have some which work with interior designers by default because they happen to be on the same projects. Mm. You'll have other integrators that a good degree of their work comes through interior designers because they've developed those long-term relationships, and they're the really powerful ones.
Yes.
Interior designers. You've got the same situation with architects, main contractors, quantity surveyors. They're all really powerful allies to have in your black book in terms of lead generation and retaining clients as well. I suppose the biggest objection we have is, or misunderstanding, is how we then integrate on the back end. But we're commercially, well, I believe we're a really good option for integrators because we're a fixed price contract and we're fixed price delivery. So we'll look at a project, we'll specify it correctly. Hopefully that project gets sold, and then we are fixed price delivery. And then so the integrator is always completely in control of their margin. Because having spoken to a lot of integrators that have been doing projects themselves for years, it's the unpredictability of it that they find quite difficult to manage and quantify.
Right.
Project might take an awful lot longer to deliver and install than they've allowed for. And then all of a sudden their margin is seeping away. You may have a particularly difficult contractor that you're dealing with, which takes an awful lot more resource and time than was expected. And what you often see is when the projects don't go so well, they take away from the integrator's core business, which is supplying and installing and servicing electronic components of the job. Whereas because we're laser focused, being just a design and build contractor, you know, we have joinery in house, we have metal work in house, we have upholstery in house, we do all our design work in house. It means that because we're dealing with a smaller part of the project, we can focus on that and ensure that we do it very well. And so I don't know if that's explained very well about what we do.
Your
question, but it's
I understand.
Yeah, we're just a very complete offering front to back. And it's also our ability, because we're from the interior design and construction world, to dovetail with everybody else on the project and pull all the moving parts together. You know, be that with our very detailed construction drawings or just communication with all of the right people. It takes a huge load off of the integrator and enables them to focus on what their core business is.
And you can and do screw panels to the wall, physically build the room, screw the panels up, or like I say, physically build the room.
Yeah.
Some integrators do the same thing, physically build the room.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work with you? There's not a clash there, is there, I'm guessing?
Then we're probably not the right solution for that integrator.
Okay.
If they're particularly keen on the build side, we're, apart from some international projects that we do where we first start working with companies in other countries, and the odd project where we're brought in by a developer to do the design only side to form part of the tender documentation, we're not a design only option. We are a design and build company. So we don't offer a standard an option where we just do the designs and some CGIs and offer that out on the front end. We're a front to back solution. However, the advantages are, from a build side, we're very slick, we're very fast. Our quality of finish, I believe, is the best in the industry. And we offer a very, very good solution, not only for integrators, but also for the end client. But if an integrator particularly enjoys or finds it a particularly profitable element on the build side, then we're potentially not the right solution for them. And there's some brilliant other solutions out there on the market.
Sure. And you also bring what I always call a design eye.
Mm-hmm.
My view is, and I'm talking about relating to publishing, you know, our magazines are designed the best way we possibly can. And I think having a design eye helps.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have that, although I'm not an interior designer, I'm a publisher. But of course, I work with my designers, and mm-hmm. they come up with ideas, and I often come up with different ideas, and together we put it together.
Mm-hmm.
That's having a design eye. you having a design eye is very important, isn't it? Because there's a lot of themed rooms now, aren't there, home cinemas? I mean, there are Star Wars themed rooms, there are all sorts of things. Uh-huh. But having that design eye helps, whereas an integrator, bless them, forgive me, integrators out there, but integrators don't necessarily have a design eye. They're brilliant when it comes to technology and making things work and making things talk to each other. But yeah, having you coming along, having that design eye must be a complete asset to them.
I'd like to think so. It's different skill sets, isn't it? You would not want me programming a Crestron system.
No, not me.
Yeah. But it's not just me. It's other members of our team. We're fortunate. We have got a good eye, and we've also got a good understanding of interior design and interiors in general,
which is the important bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So it means we can look at a project, and we can look at the wider interior design scheme, and we can usually, by taking a brief from a client or the interior designer and looking at that project as a whole, holistically, we can usually come up with a concept pretty quickly, which is going to fit that brief and fit that home and house. Because the market's changed, even in the short while that we've been in this industry. 5 years ago, and definitely 10 years ago, cinema room, I feel, was predominantly a male purchase.
Yes.
And whereas now, I don't believe it is a male purchase anymore. I believe it's a family purchase. The use of a cinema room has changed. And the encouraging thing that I see as well, and remember, my history of interiors is way earlier than the Cinema Lux, so I'd work on whole home projects and be involved in cinema from back then.
Hmm.
It's very rare, even on a 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 square foot new build project, that come across that you'd see a room ring fenced and called cinema. Now, on most homes over 5,000 square foot, that room exists. And I think that's a really important thing for the industry, because it's gone from a niche room to a room that you must have if you're building a house of a certain size and stature. And also the location of that cinema room has changed as well. On big builds, you still see it in the basement as part of an entertainment space. But now more often than not, you see it replacing a lounge.
Yes.
Project. Look, that's really encouraging. But I think that we then also need to accept that the look and aesthetic of that room and the function needs to change accordingly, because it's almost acting as a formal lounge in a lot of instances now, not just a dedicated theatre. And because it's no longer just a male purchase, you will find the want for lighter finishes and different textures and more feminine finishes as well, moving into these spaces. So I think that's a really important, but a really positive shift for the industry.
Well, it's interesting, because I saw a post on social media at the weekend. I know the guy who posted it, and it was an interesting one, because I think someone was, I don't know where he got the ad from, but he posted an ad from somebody else and was commenting on the fact that they were providing a complete guide to setting up your own cinema. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure who they were aiming at that at. Mm-hmm. But the question he posed was, is cinema room dead? What's the difference between, I think I know, but I'm a publisher, what's the difference between cinema rooms and media rooms? And I did answer one question. I mean, someone said, well, is the term cinema room dead? In the States, I think they call it cinema theatre or home theatre.
And
is the term cinema room over here dead? Now, I don't think it is, because I don't think our awareness to the end user is anywhere near as high as we want it to be, because we want to grow our industry. And I don't think the awareness to our industry is very high out there. To me, cinema room is a cinema room. It's descriptive. Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I think that you often hear people talk about a dedicated cinema room and the difference between a cinema room and a media room or a media wall. doesn't really matter. It's what the client calls it. So if it's, you know, if it, a client might call their lounge with a big TV and a soundbar cinema room in some instances. A lot of people do. We all know that that's not a true cinema room. However, I think the fact that people are embracing entertainment spaces as important rooms to have in their build is very positive for the industry. I think that what Cedia are trying to do with RP22 is a good and positive step as well.
Yes.
It's trying to quantify performance levels. But I still think that's a very, very difficult thing to communicate to an end user and a client without their eyes glazing over.
Yes, true. And if they want it, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, and don't get me wrong, I think RP22 is very, very good because it's looking at things for, analytically in terms of performance levels, which is absolutely the right way to do it. However, in a way, I think that clients expect integrators to have that knowledge. That should be part and parcel of what's being offered.
Well, they're employing a professional, aren't they?
Exactly. And I think it's brilliant that a set of recommendations or standards have been published. And because what it also does is weed out some of the cowboys, which is important for maintaining the quality in the industry and the image of the industry to the end user and client. I just think that we need to be careful not to make, from a client's perspective, a subject that is already quite dry.
Yes, yes.
You know, these rooms are luxury purchases. They need to be sexy. They need to have an element of luxury to them. And I think that the way to do that is by selling the technology in conjunction and through the interior and the fit out offering of a room. Because quite frankly, a lot of clients find it a lot sexier than the black boxes that we're hiding.
Oh, 100%. Black yeah. boxes, really?
Yeah. but look, I think the two need to coexist, of course. And one absolutely helps the other. And I think that RP22 is an excellent concept, more than a concept. It's it's an excellent set of standards that's been implemented. I just think that we need to attach it to the right amount of luxury and glitz to go alongside it to make it really powerful for sales for the integrator.
It's been received very well, I must confess. We helped seed it.
Of course, it's very good. It's excellent.
Ah, so from your point of view, it's well worth the buck, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all of our design team have done the course because as much as we don't sell the technology, it's we integrate it within our room.
Of course. You need to have an understanding of it.
You need to have the understanding and the knowledge of it, and you need to stay up to date with all of the recommendations. And also we have, every integrator that we work with works differently. Some we get really good technical design come through to us from the off, and then we can work around that. Some it's a little more vague. So then we can, explore what they're looking to specify, what the brief is from the client, and then we can assist and make those recommendations. But it also, on things like viewing angles and subwoofer positions, we always perform what we'd call an idiot check our end as well to make sure that all those things align, because we're professional in what we do, and we want to make sure that the product's as good as it can be for the end client. And
if we can
assist the integrator in that, or a minimum act as a second checkpoint, that's very important, I think.
Interesting. And I guess, the brief itself, where does the brief come from to you? I suppose that can come from anywhere, can't it? Another interior designer, it can come from the client, it can come from the AV. I guess you need to meet the client, obviously, in the early stages, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but you don't always have that luxury and that option. I always feel that's the best way, is if we're client-facing early.
Yes.
Because we're experienced, and, I can have a 10-minute conversation with a client, and I normally know exactly what the brief is from that point, and I know where it needs to be pitched and how it needs to be designed and what's important. That brief taking makes a world of difference to us getting the initial design and concept right. Sometimes we get the brief secondhand through the integrator, If we haven't got contact with the end user, sometimes it's third hand because it might come through client to client representative, whoever that may be.
Well, yes.
Interior designer, then to an integrator, then to us. So there's a good chance that that brief will amend itself on the way through. Sometimes we don't get all the information or we don't get to ask the right questions. So one thing we have implemented, and you know, commercially from my point of view, that's problematic, because if we're working on design schemes and then we've got lots of revisions and changes to make each time, that doubles our workload. So I'm always keen to get as accurate brief as possible from the off. So we have implemented our client portal, which is available exclusively to our integrators and partners that work with us. And that's an online portal which at last count had over 100 different room designs on there, broken down into categories.
Wow.
We update it every week because we work on a lot of projects. So,
and you built that yourself?
Yeah, we built that ourselves, and it is constantly updated. And it's been really well received by integrators, because there's certain clients where they've been able to pass out the login details to the portal. They've been able to look through, you know, a huge portfolio of designs. And in a way, it helps whittle down some of the brief, because it might be, I particularly like this project, and this project. And usually there's a common thread between those that we can interpret. And that gives us, it's still never as good as taking a dedicated brief, but what it does is it does just help give us some pointers. And also, that's a brilliant resource when you're dealing with an end client.
Oh, 100%.
You're going to have that size of portfolio. Because we work on a lot of rooms and a lot of projects, you then have all of that material available point of sale for your client, which is, yeah, integrators have found really helpful.
So actually, you make it as easy as humanly possible for the integrator. I didn't realize you had that portal. So when you meet them, they can tap into that portal, and you build up a
virtual showroom. Really, and we've, you know, intentionally kept it quite simple in terms of it's broken down into three categories: large cinema, medium cinema, and entertainment space. And that just helps clients navigate the way through it. And so it gives good point of sale material. But what's the great thing about it is updated on a weekly basis. So it's constantly updating and evolving. So, yeah, no, it's a good tool and it's been very well received.
So you've got over 100 effectively templates on.
Yeah, so every
wow.
work on, every design that we work on, and we generally work on between 5 and 8 projects a week, they get updated to that portal. It constantly evolves. Mm-hmm. So it's just a brilliant resource for people.
Absolutely. It's a hell of a resource for the integrator. I can see how you help them and you work with them closely.
And that follows all the way through without, you know, sounding like too much of a sales pitch here. But in terms of even when we do our technical design, our technical due diligence, we have all of the speaker carcasses that we build into the walls, we have them all CNC'd to suit the system that's being installed. So, you know, when the integrator turns up, it's as easy as mounting in a preformed aperture, ready to accept that speaker and that specification.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we try and make it as simple as possible, because then that makes us even more appealing as a commercial proposition.
Oh, 100%. And you talk about the sell. I'm always interested to know whether the client knows what they want from the outset, client being the homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
But with the industry maturing the way it is, mm-hmm. With good products these days doesn't seem to be enough. Mm-hmm. It seems that people are buying the experience. They're buying the room, aren't they? So
they're buying service as well.
Yeah.
I think that's such an important thing at the market. The level that we operate in terms of being mid to high end option, and the integrators that I see have most success, they're selling service first. Yeah, be that customer service, be that the support package. And I think that's really important. It's been like if you buy a high end car or a watch, the service is just as important as the product that you're buying, and your expectations of service are that much higher because you're spending that amount of money.
Yes, yes.
I think that good product alone is has never really been enough at the top end of the market. And I think that products and service together is how I think it's most powerful a room being sold.
I agree.
And I include the room in that product, because you asked the question, does generally a client know what they're after from the outset? 9 times out of 10, no.
Yes, that's what I thought.
You know, it's in a way they want to be advised. They want to be listened to. They want to be understood in terms of what they're trying to achieve. But they want to be advised as in what is the best solution for them, their budget, their home, their property, their way of life. And I think if you can offer a complete, predictable, deliverable solution with very good service, then more often than not, you'll win that client, but you'll retain that client moving forward.
So how do you arrive with the client? How do you arrive at the theme? I suppose you show him or her various case studies that you've done, and that kind of gels their train of thought.
So sometimes, but also I'm just very old. I've been doing this for a long time.
Well, you don't look it. I'm saying that.
I feel it, but I've been doing it for a long time.
So basically, you know what questions to ask and what buttons to push quite quickly to get the to arrive at what they want.
Yeah, exactly. It's an experience thing as much as anything. You can generally look at a scheme, look at a house, look at the interior design scheme, meet the client, have a 5-minute conversation, and you should know 90% of what you need to do, either because you've worked on projects like that before or you've picked up on certain things that the client said. The world has changed as well. I mean, most clients have Pinterest boards and house boards and interior inspiration for a whole project, and you should be able to look through that and pick a common thread out and put something relevant together.
Right.
But yeah, there's no one size fits all with it, but a lot of it is about asking the right questions and experience, really.
Yeah, no, I get that. What's the most weird, or have you had the most weirdest cinema project that you've put together? I mean, people, like I say, people now are wanting Star Wars themed home theatres and so on. What's the weirdest you've ever worked on?
I caught me out with that one. I was trying to...
Or maybe there isn't one that fits that role.
So we find actually, just coming back to what you was mentioning about themes, that there's in the American market, it's still very themed.
Yes.
The European market is very much moving away from that. I think that...
Is it?
Yeah, and that's our interpretation of it. So very dark rooms with lots of colour changing LEDs and that sort of typical man cave cinema has all but disappeared off of our project list over the last couple of years.
Because, as you've said, it's more of a family room now, which is interesting.
Yeah. So, look, of course, you still have darker, moodier spaces, but clients are more in tune with finishes and design trends more than ever. And it's almost every cinema 10, 15 years ago had a similar look and feel to it. Now they're incredibly varied.
Yes. Yeah,
we're working on, I was in the office yesterday, and we had three projects on the board, as we call it. One of them was incredibly traditional, paneled, more joinery based. One was very light and had actually quite a lot of stonework, which is quite difficult to incorporate in an audio room. And the other was deep red. So it wasn't following that sort of typical dark man cave style cinema room.
It's good to see
the rest of the interior normally.
Yeah, it's good to see the differing and varying tastes, isn't it? I think that's good for our industry, because a lot of this, I'm guessing, a lot of clients that come your way via integrators, it's word of mouth. Someone goes over for a dinner party, they see this wonderful room and they want one.
Yeah, very much so. And that's part of our business strategy, is to have the right integrators in the right location that do things in the right way, because then hopefully that, we might have between 4 and 10 projects a year then from that one client. And that means that we can focus our energy on servicing that integrator.
Sure.
They're very well looked after. And also, if they have problems and issues on a project, being there, being responsive, dealing with it professionally and how you'd want it dealt with as if it's your own project. Mm-hmm. We're really good at the ownership side of it and taking responsibility. So it's, I suppose we're not after 40, 50 integrators, definitely not in the UK. We want the right integrators in the right area that we can, as much as it sounds cheesy, have a proper two-way partnership and relationship with, because, you know, it works both ways as well, because we've got lots of contacts with architects, interior designers, developers that come to us for projects. We pass the AV side straight across to our partner. So we see it as very much a two-way relationship.
Do you have a universe of integrators you want to arrive at in terms of numbers across the UK?
No, probably no more than 20.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more the right integrators in the right areas. I feel that we've got at least 50% of what we need for the UK.
Okay.
There's more that we're working on internationally as well, because we have started venturing outside the UK the last couple of years, which has been good and exciting. And we also work for several manufacturers that have been very good at supporting us as well. Yeah, we certainly have capacity for more integrators, and look, we're hungry to grow the business as much as we as much as we can, but do it in such a way that the service level remains is really important.
Really important. Brilliant. Okay, that's about it for this recording, which leaves me to say thank you to Darren Barker, the well-known interior designer from Cinema Lux.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
And remember, if you want to be included in Essential Install magazine or essentialinstall.com, contact Daniel Sait, the editor. He's always looking for good content, as Darren points out. The next in Essential Install podcast, we'll be talking to Ian Morris, the founder of Together for Cinema. So look out for that one. Have a great day and goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Essential Install magazine podcast. Please subscribe to this podcast in your chosen podcast app so you never miss an episode. Stay up to date with Essential Install in print and online. Visit essentialinstall.com.